Tonight we continue our end time study. Are we living in the end times? And we are going to look at from the rapture to the judgment seat of Christ. Now, when we're talking about the judgment seat of Christ, here's where that word comes in. And we have a translation on that in the scripture. It says judgment seat. That marked the actual word there used that would translate as judgment, which is the final judges, where the judges in the Greek games, let's say that, you know, remember Paul always used that as an analogy of the Greek games, you know, to run the race to win, and he who, crossing the finish line and doing this, well, that seat was the seat of glory, the seat of judgment, of what awards that you would win at the end of the race. So when we see the judgment seat of Christ, first thing people think of is, oh, he's going to zap me. I mean, you know, I've got sin in my life. I still do, even as a Christian. So I know that I'm going to end up being zapped for this. Now let's get into the study itself as we understand the judgment part of being the judging the different contests that we were in. And you're going to find, because next week I'm going to give you, do we have any idea of what some of the rewards are going to be? Yes, next week I'll give you the five that are listed in Scripture and tell you who will and those rewards go to. But now, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let me stop right there. Paul is talking to the church. He's talking to the Corinthian church. Those who do not know Christ, the lost of the world, do not appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear. He's talking to the church. All of the scriptures, all the New Testament, is teaching to the church. You will not find in the Holy Scriptures where God is speaking to the lost world. In the New Testament, when the end began, the beginning of the ending of the age, then you've got the church. The church age is to go out and warn the world and to invite them to come in. We've got that. But we need to understand that the preaching Paul was giving was always to the church. He wasn't preaching to lost people. He was preaching to the saved. He told the church at Corinth, he said, you all ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're acting worse than the infidels are acting, the non-believers. So we know he was talking just to the believers. But do you know not one time during all of that did he tell them that they were lost? Now one time in all of Scripture will you find that once a person had accepted Christ, they were ever accused of losing their salvation. You can't lose what you didn't earn. Am I not saved by grace? Are you not saved by grace? Is it not a gift of God? Lest any of us would boast. How can I lose what I didn't deserve? Unmerited favor, is that not grace? Is that not mercy? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Now there's where people say, now see, he gonna zap me because I got more bad over here than I got good. All right, let's see that. Let's say this. I don't want to go over there and talk to this person that I feel led of God to speak to. But I do. Now, I'm going and I'm talking to that person that I don't want to really talk to. If the Lord saves him, then he's going to be in heaven with me, and I can't stand to talk to him on earth. Why do I want to mess with him throughout eternity? But I go, and I share Christ. I didn't save that guy. Jesus did, right? I went for the bad reason, but he still got saved. You got it? Good or bad? Listen, folks, when you share Christ, even with the bad attitude that some of you have sometimes, even with bad attitudes that we can get into, salvation is great, isn't it? I've got to tell you the story again of Ron Lewis in revival, and this woman, she could not stand me. I'm preaching the revival and every night, and she let me know that. I cannot even stand the way you look. Every night at the end of the service, she let me know that. Kay Lewis, Kay would laugh at me, and I called her by name, but I won't mention her name. Anyway, she... And anyway, one night she comes forward, accepting Christ. And I'm grinning, you know, like a possum. I just love it. You know, I'm grinning. And she's saved. I'm standing at the door. She's walking out. She said, "I accepted Jesus tonight, but I still can't stand you." Oh, and all I could do was laugh, because she's going to have to put up with me through eternity. And I'm going to have to put up with her too. That's obvious. But you see, she was saved. And I want you to pay a close attention that when we're going in the front of Christ, judgment seat of Christ, to receive that which was done for the things while in the body, good or bad. It's not a judgment on anything else. Now, okay, I'm going to get to that anyway. Don't let me get caught into preaching, please. The Christian has only one appointment to die. Hebrews 9:27. That it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Now, I'm appointed to die once, and then to the judgment seat of Christ. Does this talk about then the lost people? No. No. No, no, no. We're dealing here with the faithful, with the Christians. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Okay. The appointment is to die one time. The lost die twice. There are two deaths, as you will see. We're not a part of the second death, because we are only appointed to die one time. I can't change that appointment. Whatever time God has set for me to die, I will die. All your prayers are not going to matter. Only time your prayers matter is if it is not my appointed time, and yet I have some disease or something that has hit me, and when the church prays, God extends my life, will heal me on that, or, you know, for whatever the cause. God will intervene. That's why we pray for each other. If not, why pray? Why pray for somebody when you say, "Well, it's just their time to die"? Well, don't pray for them. What you going to do if it's their time to die? Why do you offer them up in prayer? We offer each other's name to the Lord in prayer, because you and I do not know our appointed times. Only God does. Lord, if it is not that time, please extend their life. That will help us. Nevertheless, not our will, but yours be done. But he said, you pray that prayer and I'll answer it. I'd call a prayer of faith, Brother Randy. Christians have no appointment to die the second death. Revelation 20, verse 6. Now, hear this well. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. That's the millennial reign here on earth. Jesus will rule from the throne of David on this earth. Who's getting to rule with him? Got it? The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will, that's us, that's Christian, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. What are we going to be doing down here? I don't have any idea. I'm going to like it. God, I can't die. I can't get sick. And you all can't even make me sick. What even is going on in the world can't make us sick, Gene. No, they go a little further on that part, on the purgatory time. But the purgatory is a place where they will burn off or they will wait out of time and they will pay for their sins, you know, that they've committed after they were saved.
Yeah, okay.
Only problem with that is this, big problem. When you look at that cross, it's called done and done. I mean, when my sins were paid for, past, present, and future, it's done. If not, we're in a mess. But Jesus says it's over. Once for all. Once and for all. Okay. But no, in purgatory, that goes a lot deeper, which nobody really understands, including those who pitched it in there. Okay, reign with him for 1,000 years. Revelation 20:14. Then death and Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. You and I don't have any part of that. We'll do a background on this in a minute. Revelation 20:15. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, the book of life, and I don't want to get into that, it's a different study, but you have the books, plural, and then you have the one book, the book of life. Do you remember where the names were blotted out and their name will be blotted out of the book of life? Okay, therefore, people's names are in there. When you accept Christ, your name is sealed in that book of life. There's no way of that being changed at all. If a name was not found written in there, those are the humans that will be going into hell. Hell was not created for the human being. Scripture says hell was created for the devil and his angels. And man chooses to go to hell. I've told you many times in sermons and all, it's hard to go to hell. It is definitely hard to go to hell. You've got to want to go so bad. How do you reject as much love? Yet people do. Mercy, peace, grace. That's what it takes to go to hell. Rejecting Christ, the ultimate love. The first resurrection, now let's go through the first resurrection and would say that. I thought I better explain that. First resurrection, I believe, I'm talking about your pastor, I believe that Jesus is the first of the resurrection. Now, I'll give you the other thought process in a moment. John 11, Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, this is the woman at the well, I am the resurrection and the life. Therefore, I'm telling you that I believe he is the resurrection, the first of the resurrection. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Well, actually, her answer was, yea, Lord, I believe that the time is coming, and speaking of him, and she did not know it was him, that the Savior will come and believe, at the resurrection, is what she's saying, at the resurrection time. And he says, I am the resurrection. I am here. I'm looking at you. And man, she got in trouble with the men when she got back and told them that. For one thing, she didn't have any business talking to a man without another man with her. That's the background. Okay. Acts 26, verses 22 and 23. Therefore, Having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead. This is why I believe this. First resurrected. You got it? The first to rise from the dead. Now, to stop any kind of argument on this, many would say then, well, wait a minute. What about Lazarus? What about the others who did not die? What about, you know, this is the first resurrection. Lazarus died again. Jesus never died again. After the resurrection, death had no power, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. You know what a Gentile was? You remember the scripture says, let not the hire of a whore or the sale of a dog enter the church. And many people had trouble with buying dogs. And this, the Gentiles, we were called dogs. The Hebrews looked at us as dogs. So they weren't allowed to have slaves, the Gentile slaves, and sell them, and then let that money be a part of the kingdom. They said, the Jewish nation would say, the Hebrews would say, which are the Jews, would say, well, you know, that's because they were Gentiles. Who's a Gentile? Anybody that's not a Jew. If you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. So, I look at it deeper. It's God saying slavery is unacceptable. Many, you know, they said, Gentiles, you can, okay. But now, if you believe, as some do, let's do this. I'm still working on the first resurrection, that the first resurrection spoken of in Revelation 26 refers to the rapture of the church, which is 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Now many say that's the first resurrection. I say the first resurrection is Christ. The message, though, is still the same concerning God's judgment. Listen to Romans 5:9. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? I don't want to be saved from God's correction, his chastisement, and I'm not. I want to be saved from God's wrath. I don't want any part of the wrath of God. I'm frightened even speaking about the wrath of God. I don't want any part of it. But the scripture says, since we have now been justified by his blood, not by how good you think you are, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? If I'm justified through the blood of Christ, how much more am I going to be saved from the wrath of God through the blood of Jesus Christ? Jesus' blood will never see hell. It cannot happen. Every Christian in here has had a blood transfusion. Born again, you got the red blood. Don't you worry about that blue blood stuff. You got Jesus' blood running in your veins. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. Remember I said I believe in the premillennial reign, meaning that the church will be raptured before the thousand-year reign of Christ. That means that I believe that the church is taken up at the rapture before the tribulation period. So, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the tribulation period? Is that not the wrath of God? 7 years. That's 7 years. Many would say they believe that it was as 7 years, which is at the end, the last 7 years of the church age. And then the rapture of the church to get us off the earth. The church age is still, that's a part of the church age. The next age to come is the millennial reign of the 1,000 years. Okay. The manifestation of the believer's works is in question in the judgment seat of Christ. It is not a judgment of the believer's sins. These have been fully atoned for in the vicarious and substitutionary death of Christ and remembered no more. Now listen to Hebrews 10, 17, 18. Then he said, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. And when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. Now, let me give you a little background on this one. This is a scripture where people are saying that, wait a minute, when sins have been forgiven, gosh, I wish I had the old English, because this is in the New Living Translation here, but there is no longer sacrifice for sins, I think is in the old English, meaning, and people would take that as meaning, if you sin once you're saved, you cannot be saved. You cannot be saved again. Well, you can't be saved again. I'll go along with that part. It only took one time. I've been saved once, folks. That's all it took. Jesus did it right the first time. People might not think that I act like it, look like it, or feel like it, or anything else, but I'm saved all the way through. So there would be no atonement. Once it was given, what more could Jesus give? There is no need to offer any more sacrifice. It's over. He sacrificed himself, the ultimate sacrifice. No more blood sacrifice. Christians need not fear the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I see the judgment seat of Christ, and I look at it this way in my latter years, Brother Randy. It's the Lord polishing me up to hand to God the Father. We're getting shined up. That's all that is. We're going before the Lord, and then he's setting us aside for work that we have to do. Well, the judgment seat of Christ, what kind of work am I going to do? Don't know. Hadn't been assigned me yet. But it will be. When am I going to use it then? Well, definitely during the 1,000-year reign with Christ. You think we're going to be on vacation in Hawaii? I don't even know Hawaii's still going to be there. It may be still shooting up in the air by that time. Who knows? I don't remember out of 133 countries that listen to us about Hawaii. I know it's a state, Brother Randy, but whether do we have any breakdown on that? Do you know how many people from Hawaii then? Forgive me for those of you in Hawaii that might be hearing this later. I didn't mean that you're going to be zapped, although you could be. Christians need not fear the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John 4, 17 through and 19. Love has been perfected among us in this. This is the perfection of love. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. When you come before Jesus, he said, I want you, walk in here, Larry Pete. God, I'm going to be grinning all over myself because the Lord is going to give me a reward. I didn't earn it. That's why at the end of all of this, in the crown that we're having and the stars and all of the stuff there, with the scripture says we're taking them off and laying them at his feet as an honor to him. That's why he said you must believe that I have, can save you, and I reward those who follow me. I am a rewarder. You have to believe that I reward you. You got to believe in their rewards. And believing in the rewards are given to us to give to Christ. That makes sense. Because have you ever wrestled with that? Why would I deserve anything? Well, I don't. But I didn't deserve salvation either. Neither did you. But we got it, right? Doesn't it make just basic Christian sense to know then that whatever that we would have on that crown that Christ is giving us is presented to him? And I'm tickled to death. I don't have to die anymore, so I can be tickled to death to put it there. Love had been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. As Jesus is, you're going to be. I'm going to be. I'll be known as, you know, I don't know what my heavenly name's going to be. It would have to be grace, love, whatever the Lord has me named as. Maybe I don't want to know. But it will be a name of honor. You know who the honor goes to? Jesus. Absolutely. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. You see? How many times we're told that we will not go through that? Jesus will not allow his children to be tormented or to go through that type of judgment. He won't allow it. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. I didn't love Jesus to begin with. Even the love I have for Jesus today from the human standpoint cannot reach the depth, even close, of his true love for me. I don't understand that kind of love because I'm a human being. I don't understand that in-depth love. I get messed up with the love that I deal with in the human world, much less a love of a Savior, the love of God. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And remember this again, too, Gene, when we're talking about, you know, the gifts, that the reward that we're going to be getting later and all of this, we need to remember that it is what you do that's going to, let's say, really make a difference in heaven or the person. Yeah. Is what you do in love.
Everlasting.
Everlasting. What you, if you do it in love, you got it. When you do it because you love to do it, you're wanting to give. You don't ever give because you feel compelled to give in any way, shape, or fashion. You're gonna, and don't you dare give to the panhandlers down here either. That's a group being bussed in. Stay away from them. Leave them alone. Just honk, wave, and keep going. Those, they're coming in the vans and all of this. Why am I bringing that up? It's driving me crazy watching that. That is what is phony within the Christian realm also. When people have decided that I'm doing good things, so therefore I'm going to heaven. Doing good things don't have a thing to do with where you're eternally bound for. If I do good things, but I don't do it in love, those things are not good in the eyes of God. They're useless in the eyes of God because I did it not out of love. The manifestation of the believer's works, that's us, is in question in this judgment. It is not a judgment of the believer's sins. Page 3. These have been fully atoned for in the vicarious and substitutionary death of Christ and remembered no more. Evidently, the judgment seat of Christ is set up in heaven. That's where it takes place. People say, where did it take place? On some cloud out there? No. No. I still don't have any scripture that said you're going to float around on a cloud playing a harp. When is this? It is prior to Christ's glorious second advent, his second coming. The rapture of the church is not the second coming of Christ, as taught last week. The rapture of the church, during that time, Jesus never steps foot on earth. He brings us up to meet him in the clouds. But he's still not saying we're floating on the cloud. You got it? We're floating on his spirit, in his spirit. It is just prior to his second coming, in preparation for the earth rule in the millennial kingdom. He said earlier that we will be ruling with Christ, serving with him. Brother Randy, get down there to her with that microphone.
It's not the new earth where he has this. It's where we are now.
No, it's where you are now. Remember,
okay, I'm done.
The scripture tells us that Jesus must reign on the throne of David. The throne of David was on this earth. It is at the end of the age, at the end time, at the after everybody that goes to hell has been cast into hell, that resurrection of the dead in Christ and all, or the dead, unsaved dead, then heaven and earth will disappear. That's when the new heaven and the new earth come down. Now, are we coming down with that new earth? Don't know. Sounds good to me. Be perfect again. Yes, sir.
Jesus said that, God, the prophecy is that Jesus will reign on the throne of David forever, but the earth doesn't last forever. So how can the throne of
David? He will reign on the throne. He will take over the throne of David forever.
Okay.
The throne of David is set up on the earth. Just like the temple. Remember that the temple on earth is just a picture of the real temple that is in heaven. We got that?
Okay,
the throne of David. What was the throne of David? What is the throne of David? That is God's pick in the lineage of the Messiah to come. Okay, once he rules, Christ rules, takes it over here, it is carried through throughout eternity. There's no separation from that. But he must reign on the throne here to conquer, because he said he would. Don't you remember all the Hebrews, the Jewish nation, believed that Jesus, the Messiah, was going to reign right then on the earth. But he, at the time when, and if his choosing, when that happens, then that is, it goes from physical to spiritual. But you're absolutely correct. It is throughout eternity, but it starts here. Why? Because everything started here. God chose this earth, this planet, to start it. And he said, I'll end this planet when it's my time, when I've decided to end it. That's how I know that man can't do it. Man cannot destroy what God has created. We mess it up. Think maybe we've done that a few times. But you can't destroy it. How can we destroy what God created from nothing? And remember, only God can create. Man can only take what he has and make from that, build from that. God took nothing and created something. And then he took the dirt and created us. And we clean up pretty good. Yeah, we do. Okay. Our appearance is necessary for the appointment of places in leadership and authority with Christ in his role of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what the judgment seat's about. Setting position. Everybody said, well, I won't get a position. Yep. Folks, when you make it before the judgment seat of Christ, you got your position. I don't know what it's going to be, but I can tell you some of those rewards next Sunday, what the Scripture says they will be. You're going to like them, too. See, that's what bothers me. I know I'm heaven bound. So why would I fear? Why would I fear cancer? Why would I fear any of this other stuff? Why would I have any fear of something that has no control over me when I know that God's in charge of it? And if the Lord says, okay, Larry, it's time for you to come on home, why would I not want to go on home? Why would I not be excited about that? I cannot be lost. I've already been found. Jesus don't lose. You and I lose everything. We can't even keep the change in our pocket without losing it. Jesus don't lose anything. He said, you belong to me, Larry Pete. Jesus got stuck with Larry Pete. And you all thought it was bad and thought you were just stuck with him. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Okay. Let me tell you, before you think the wrong way, you have not been faithful in your trust. How do you know that? Because you're a human being. And because you have flaws. If you don't think you have flaw, that's a big one. That's a big flaw that you have. Matthew 16:27. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. Okay, that reward that I'm getting, that what he has done, what I have done in love. If I preach the gospel in love, then I will be rewarded for preaching that gospel in love. Oh, here's something else for us. Just in case you think, yeah, but I really haven't done that much. Well, join the rest of us. But here's something for you. Here's how God does this. Why then aren't the rewards or everything handed out until the end comes? The ultimate judgment. Why is it held off until the end of everything? It's held off because, let's say you lead somebody, what you said to a child, what you said to a child in class, Debbie, what any of us have, what you taught all those years in Sunday school, Miss Jean, and that child accepts Christ because you had shared out of love. Every person that child leads to Christ, what if that child's another Billy Graham? Man, you're getting check marks right and left because every salvation after that goes in your category too. That's why it can't be added up until the end, till God says it's over. Then it's when he adds that part up. But now we have a ministry to perform. Well, what's that ministry, preacher? Love? Okay? Care enough about people to love them, even if they're unlovable. 2 Timothy 8:4-8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, okay, who gets this one? But also to all who have longed for his appearance. All right. There's your one reward before I even get to them next week. The crown of righteousness. If I'm longing, if I'm looking forward to the coming of Jesus, I got the crown of righteousness. You can stop right there as far as I'm concerned. Whew. You see, I made it in. I know that. I read the book. And I know his love. I'm already there. Count it, Larry, as though you're already here. What's our problem? We keep acting like we're not already there. When I know I'm already there, what can the world do to me? What can cancer do to me if I know I'm already there? Because this is a walking corpse anyway, people. You're looking at a dead man walking. I just haven't started stinking yet. I'm not done yet. And you're not done yet. That's right. Surely we'll stink of the later. Okay. Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. When? I don't know. And a person that tells you that they do, they don't know. Stay away from them. They don't know what they're talking about. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. He is gender neutral, he or she. The word itself actually is. One according to what he has done. Huh. Okay, if that's the way it is then, what must I do to make it here? Except
spread the love.
Yes, and accepting Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what I've done. I haven't done anything else for my salvation, right? I believe. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3, to verses 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints, that's us, you too, Lonnie, we're saints. Yep. Don't you listen to Norma about all of that. Yes, you are. You're a saint. Yes, you are. You did like me. You're a rough one. Steve, you're right in there with us, son. Yep. But you're still a saint. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? Huh. What are we doing? I don't know. I don't know. But one thing I do know, I'm on the right side of that judgment. And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial cases, such as right and wrong? Folks, when I get caught in wrong, it's not... It is so foolish for me to say, well, I didn't know that that was wrong. Mom, I didn't know that smoking in a tobacco barn, rolling my own cigarette, was wrong with all that hay there and me striking matches. Well, no, I didn't know it was wrong. And don't worry about it. It'll never happen again. God made me so sick, I would never touch it again. And if you are to judge the world, are you not competent to judge trivial matters? Do you not know that we will judge angels? Woo! Now, that's telling us how important we are to Christ. Jesus talking to Thomas. Thomas is doubting him. Remember then that Thomas doubting Jesus. And Jesus says, fine, Thomas, you know, put your hand in the hole in my hand, your hand in my side. And then you know what Thomas says? I believe, Lord. And you know what Jesus said after that? Yes, Thomas, you believe because you have seen me. Put your hand here. But how much more blessed are those who believe in me and haven't seen? You and I believe, and we haven't seen him. And we're that much more blessed than his own disciples. That's pretty good. I feel comfortable with that. Don't you? Yeah. Well, judge angels, how much more the things of this life? And this has nothing to do with judge not lest ye be judged. Right over here, Randy, the elderly lady, niece. That's something. Yeah, I know my wife's going to chew me out afterwards.
Okay, Brother Larry, you said we will judge angels.
Yes.
Angels, I thought, lived in heaven, so what's to judge?
Okay, that's a different study, which I ought to do again. But you have angel when you die. The scripture says we are escorted by God's angels, two at least. We know we are, our spirit is escorted to God. Why? Why did I need an escort? Because the spirit realm, war still rages in the spiritual realm. It's not over. The bad angels are still out there. They have not been cast into hell. Oh, they're still out there. They still exist. And they're in a realm between here and God's home. See, we're going to God's home. Paul referred to it as the third heaven. Way above anything that you can see. It's not the sky. It's not the blue. It's not the black. It's not the star. Way above all of that. That's where we're headed. Now, why? How could they touch us? People said. Why would you need an escort? Well, they can't touch us because of the escort. How did I get saved? I got saved by the grace of Christ. Okay? I'm saved. I'm headed for heaven. Jesus didn't quit saving me, folks, on that day of my born-again experience. He saves me every day, every second of the day. How many times a day you think you need saving from foolishness, from the car around the curve before you get there?
Maybe about 24 hours.
Yep. Yeah. And so, therefore, he saves us. And he said, you're coming to be with me. I don't know anything about this big battle except for Scripture, what it tells us that is still going on. That's why you have Michael the archangel and God's angels intervening.
So we'll be judging angels.
The bad ones.
The Satan's followers.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what I wasn't sure about.
Yes. Estimate a third of the angels of heaven. People say, how many is that? I don't know. I don't think God takes census up there. See, God knows. Remember, at the judgment seat of Christ, a believer's salvation is not brought to question. Is not brought into question. What is in question is the earthly works of the Christian. Matthew 12, 36, 37, but I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Okay. God does not have to check with the NSA. Now, they might have every idle word we've spoken. Our government may have. But they ain't got it listed like God does. But this focuses on the idle words that you would speak. Anything that you said out of love, God's going to burn up. Jesus is going to burn them up at the judgment seat. They're not reaching God's ear. We're taken care of. Jesus said, I will take care of that. Now, but for those who don't know Christ, here it is, the last. And by your words you will be condemned. The word of the individual says, I do not believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. Then by your own words you will be judged in your disbelief. Do not say that Christ cast to hell. Man will cast himself into hell. Romans 14:10. You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. That's the judgment seat of Christ. What is he talking about? What kind of judgment is? Where you're telling somebody they're going to hell. I've heard Christians tell other Christians, you'll go to hell for lying just as well as for stealing. And I thought, gosh, I'm not going to hell for either one of those. Only thing can cast me to hell is unbelief. That's it. That's the unpardonable sin, unbelief. Have you lied since you were saved? guiltiest looking crew I believe I ever saw. Starting right at the podium. Think of that. Okay. It goes deeper than this, folks. I don't want to get into it because I'm already pushing it here. Okay. Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. That's called the universal law of the living God, if you don't know what that verse is. I'm sorry. I call it the universal law of the living God. I don't know what anybody else calls it. That whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. Go ahead, walk into a room with a frown on your face. Guess what you're going to get? I can frown more than you can frown. Walk into a room, stick your tongue out at people. Don't do that. Don't walk in. But if you do, I guarantee you, somebody's going, it's coming out. You do. What you sow, you're going to reap. Walk into a room with a smile on your face, with love in your heart. You know what you're going to get? A smile and love. Ephesians 6:8, remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Oh, gosh. And no, Paul did not promote slavery. He's saying that whether you're a slave or free, saved is saved. All right? I'm going to be rewarded for the good I've done. Well, what's gone with all the bad? Jesus got rid of it. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is. He shined me up, presenting me to God the Father, and I'm looking good. Hair or not. Colossians 3:24. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. A guaranteed inheritance. And that the master you are serving is Christ. Don't we see that that in itself is our reward? I get to live in God's house. Hey, your mansion ain't squat. Nope. Isn't anything. Excuse me. As a result of this judgment of the believer's works, there will be reward or loss of reward in any event. The truly born-again believer is already saved. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already that we already have, Christ, or Jesus Christ. That's it. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. Okay, don't get confused on that. Many people say, well, see, wood is not as good as gold or silver on the building. That's not what he says. Listen to this again. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation, you build on the foundation of Jesus, may use a variety of metals, materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. Any of that's going to be solid when it's on Christ. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of works each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's works has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, you're talking about God's fire. Yeah, folks, gold melts quickly. It'll burn just like straw or anything else. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss because I'm missing out on the blessings down here. You see, it's the blessing. That's what hurts the Christian. We miss our blessings. Now, if you do this good and you do it in love, I'm going to bless you. You get to be a part of a blessing. I love blessings. The builder will be saved. That's us. But like someone barely escaping through the wall of flames, But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. Meaning I go, whew. But I already read the book. I already know I'm saved. But I will have missed a lot of blessings in this life. You hear me, folks? We've missed a lot of blessings just simply because that we did not do what we did out of pure love. John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. This is Jesus speaking. They will never be condemned for their sins. You got that? Never be condemned for their sins. But they have already passed from death into life. Already there. Will everyone receive a reward? Yes. At the judgment seat of Christ. Yes. Don't sweat it. You got rewards coming. Or you wouldn't be there. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Whoa! Look at that again. I want you to pay attention to this. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness, and will expose the motives of men's hearts. Who's he exposing them to? You? Mine to me? But then he says, at that time, each will receive his praise from God. At no time will you ever see where lost those who reject Christ will ever receive praise from God. But at this point, at this judgment, everyone will receive praise from God. That goes back to the games. Does it matter whether it's bronze, silver, or gold? Did they not all receive praise as winners? Yet they were not all first across the line. Okay. Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, there's only one that you must give account to, and that's God. But you and I give account for ourselves to God through grace from Jesus Christ.